The Secret Service takes action. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. More than a month after the Trump assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania.
As of Monday, as of 5 days ago, at least five Secret Service agents, four from the Pittsburgh field office, including the special agent in charge, all placed on administrative leave, and one person from former President Trump's personal protective team inside the bubble, someone that travels with him all the time.
Fox's David Spunt says there could be more put on leave as the Secret Service keeps investigating security lapses at that Trump rally July 13th, where one of his supporters was killed, two were wounded by a gunman, shot and killed by a Secret Service sniper moments later. Now today, former President Trump will hold rallies in Nevada and then Arizona for a second day in a row. He was critical of Vice President Harris's speech last night, telling Fox,
"She can do all of the things, many of the things that she's talking about and complaining about. It was a lot of complaining."
Now, Harris closed out the Democratic convention in Chicago.
"America, we are not going back.
Warning of serious consequences if former President Trump's elected again.
Donald Trump tried to throw away your votes. When he failed, he sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol."
There is news on the economy this morning.
"The time has come for policy to adjust."
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell at a Fed gathering in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, says that means the first rate cut, maybe next month, since 15 rate hikes in 2022 and last year that helped bring a surge of inflation down.
"And the timing and pace of rate cuts will depend on incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks."
And on Wall Street, the Dow is surging up more than 300 points. America's listening to Fox News.
Jerry Padgett, the second enlisted in the U.S. Navy and deployed multiple times to Iraq and Afghanistan until Jerry was catastrophically injured in an improvised explosive device blast. Now, Jerry received a new smart home thanks to our friends at the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Now, the home is in the foundation's Let Us Do Good Village. It's in Florida, and Jerry now lives more independently thanks to the specially adaptive technologies. Commit to $11 a month, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org. Hey, I'm going to let you in on a wireless hack that can cut your cell phone bill in half. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, they want you to think that unlimited data is fantastic. Well, the fact is, it's not. Pure Talk, my cell phone company, only charges you for data that you need. With just $25 a month, you get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 5 gigs of data, plus mobile hotspot. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and do it now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Save money, same service with...
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU.
A very good Friday morning to you all from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. Arizona's Superintendent of Public Instruction announced he will once again push legislation for a statewide school cell phone ban. Tom Horn claims that cell phones in the classroom are too distracting for students and affect their learning. Now, this legislation was passed last year but was vetoed by Governor Katie Hobbs. Trial dates still need to be confirmed for the Arizona man accused of sexually abusing a 12-year-old girl in Yuma. 47-year-old Randall Metters is being charged with 5 counts of child molestation, 5 counts of child abuse, and 10 counts of aggravated assault with sexual motivation. Both Metters' attorney and the state requested more time to hammer out when his trial will begin. And prep football season is back. Join us tonight for the season kickoff of Friday Night Lights at 10:15 p.m. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Scott Gross.
Very little humidity for the weather for the weekend, just hot with sunshine. 107 on Friday, 77 Friday night. Sunny and 106 on Saturday, 78 Saturday night. Sunday, sunny and 103.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Derek Eggberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage in studio. Russ Clark, good morning.
I'm here.
Hey, you look like you've been on vacation. You got the Grizzly Adams look going on.
Well, you know, that was the new wife. And she asked me what I look like in a beard. I said, never grew one.
Okay.
And she said, well, I'd like to see.
I'm just kind of imagining you being Santa Claus for the tower lighting pageant.
Maybe
this
that
year.
Was it. Maybe that was the reason she did that. I don't know.
Did she tell you to stop going to the gym?
No.
Okay. Just didn't know if maybe there was a...
She actually, you know, we're both very health conscious and longevity minded. I'll be 67 next month.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to keep doing the things I've always done.
Yeah.
I don't want to go gracefully.
Well, you've gone gray, but not gracefully. Got it.
Gracefully. So I'm not going to quit work. I'm not going to quit anything.
So did you ever take any economics courses?
Sure. I was a business major.
And did you ever take any psychology courses?
Yes, but that was after college.
Okay. So tell me what your definition of unintended consequences is.
It's lack of planning. I mean, but generally, realistically, unintended consequences are things you haven't, you know, that spring up that weren't planned for because they were... Not something that you thought about that was outside your realm of thinking. Really.
So, you know, I'm looking at certain things in the marketplace right now, and it's like, you know how you can see a blinding flash of the obvious,
yeah,
and you just wonder why other people aren't talking about it and seeing it, right?
Well, that happens every day.
Okay.
Because people don't want to see things.
So
they don't want to think about it.
I want to throw some stats at you, and it's not about the stats. It's what some of the consequences could be. So... Right now in this country, how many single family homes sell on an annual basis, if you had to guess?
Oh, my.
And again, I'm not holding you to it. I'm just you know, the average man on the street. What do you think?
I don't know. 10 million.
Much lower. 5 to 6 million homes.
Okay.
And out of, let's say, on a year where 6 is sold, and yes, there's years that are above, there's years below, but that's a good average. Out of that, about 4.5 million are resale and 1 to 1.5 million are new construction. Okay. So there's about 6 million homes sold a year. Now, yeah, Everybody keeps talking about, oh, let's wait until interest rates drop.
Right.
And we talked about this on the last show. If interest rates drop 1% in a rapid succession, how many new buyers come off the sidelines to try to qualify for a home?
None. I mean, oh, you mean interest rates on homes?
If interest rates on homes drop 1% full, the National Association of Realtors say 5 million potential new buyers jump off the sidelines.
New buyers?
Right. Because now you have people who couldn't qualify, might qualify. Now, think of what that would do. You're telling me that 100% more demand could come into the marketplace. Now, I know
that sounds insane.
What does supply and demand mean?
Well,
means doubling the amount of people potentially buying causes you issues.
There won't be enough inventory.
Now, we've been talking about that for a month.
Right.
Here's the one that the blinding flash of the obvious is just driving me crazy. You have heard the proposal, and I say proposal because there is no plan, there is no rules for it, but you've heard the proposal of somebody in government that talked about a $25,000 gift or down payment assistance program, right?
Correct. Okay. At a national basis.
Yes. Okay. So if the average sales price here is, let's call it $300,000. And you and I know FHA loans, you only need to put 3.5% down. So I'm pretty good at math. 3.5% of $300,000 is $10,500.
Yeah.
Are you leaving $15,000 for closing costs? Or are you assuming people now have more money to bid over the sales price to compete with other people? Now, think of what I just said. If you aren't using your own money and I'm using my own money, and we're both looking at the $300,000 home that you and I both believe is worth $300,000.
Yeah.
If I'm going to stop at $300,000 or $305,000, and you have $10,000 or $15,000 of free money that ain't yours, would you bid $10,000 to $15,000 over?
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, particularly free money is easy to spend.
So here's my blinding flash of the obvious. We've seen rates come down a little bit. There's more people coming into the market, which is going to hold prices where they are or even continue driving them northward. You put a plan in place like that, what do you think is going to happen to the price of homes?
Well, the inventory is going to dry up. So the
inventory is going to dry up, but the prices are going to go through the roof because now you have people, A, competing on homes that they didn't qualify for before, which I want everybody to have a chance at a house. But now you have people who have no skin in the game and can offer 10 grand more, 15 grand more than the house may be worth. But the whole thing is set up as a, you know, how do we make home ownership affordable? How do we get more people in? Aren't you going to drive prices?
The biggest thing on home getting into the homes, you have to have a little bit of cash in your pocket in order to get in. Mm-hmm. But even if it's $10,000 or more. So that's why they're coming up with these programs. Well, that's unfair to people that have nothing in their pockets. Let's just give them the down payment. And that way they make a down payment. It's one state already has it, though. I don't know if it's Oregon or California, one of them, where they will give you up to $20,000, and to make a down payment.
There were a lot of programs like that.
And 0% interest. It's not your money. You have to give it back. 0% interest. And you only pay it back when you sell the house. Which I think is a fabulous program, but
there's a ton of programs
crazy
out there. You could walk into my office right now and say, hey, how many down payment assistance programs do you have? There's about a dozen. Some work for one individual, some work for another.
But there's always a price.
There are prices, but they're affordable.
Right. It may increase the rate a little bit or something. There's a price to get free, but not on this one.
But my point is, whether it's on that one or not, there's already these programs out there. But now you're going to convince people they get potentially 25 grand so they can offer more for the home. And all of a sudden, you're going to see home prices explode.
I think so.
If that happens.
I doubt if there's going to be double. There can't be double the buyers at that point, can there? I mean,
you go look. The Association of Realtors says if there's a 1 percentage point drop in rate, typically up to 5 million new buyers enter the marketplace. If there's only 5 to 6 million homes sold.
But really, and what's the rate now? Six, seven?
In the low to mid sixes. But again,
But dropping from six to five is not that big a percentage. It's when it drops from 4 to 3 or 3 to 2.
Well, it's still
a bigger percentage.
I get what you're saying, but the funny thing with all of that is if rates drop in a large fashion, not just little by little, but if they drop in large fashion, home prices also go up. Because now that person can afford a slightly bigger home, and the person who was qualified for 300 now can get into 350, so they slide up to a different neighborhood, and the demand curve changes on each neighborhood.
Well, as the rates have gone up, as prices fallen in Yuma, they haven't fallen at all.
Why not?
I don't. Well, the demand is still there.
That's number two blinding flash of the obvious. Yeah. You have people who. How many memes have you seen on social media that it's the U-Haul, you know, with a message to California saying, here's four more taxpayers not going to pay tax, and they're moving out of California?
That's happening
regularly. The demand is, number one, our city keeps growing, and our county, not just our city, but our county keeps growing. There's you know, new households being formed, but you have people from California, from Washington, Oregon moving this direction. The sand states and the... typically, the red states are going to do really, really well regulatory-wise. Look at how many people are frustrated with California policies that are moving here. If I don't see two brand-new homeowners a week asking to get qualified to move here, it's more. But let's just use a conservative number.
People from out of state.
If I'm seeing 8 to 10 a month people moving this direction from California, and I'm one mortgage loan officer— and let's pretend there's 100 of us in town. I don't know what the number is, but could there be on average 500 to 1,000 asks, let me try to get qualified to move here? And some of them don't. Some of them are just looking around. But what if there's 100 new households moving here? What if there's 50 new households moving here? Do Do you know how many homes we're selling and creating?
I have no idea.
Now think of it. There's not more than 50 to 60 new homes being built a month in Yuma. And you can go pull the permits. And just because a permit is pulled doesn't mean the home is ready with the certificate of occupancy and closing. So if we're adding, let's say, on a normal year right now, let's say Yuma added 1,000 new homes. And there's 500 families moving from elsewhere. That means there's only potentially 500 new homes for Yuma residents. Now, how many kids did you have?
Two.
So at some point, you need a house and your two kids need a house. Yeah. Not necessarily here in town. I have three boys. At some point, they're going to need three new homes. So you have to continue expanding at some point, right? And are you checking me? You look like you're running numbers.
I am checking. I'm checking. Yeah, I'm running numbers.
Was I right?
On house prices?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yeah. Overall, in 24, they're going to go up like 3.5% predicted. So then I punched in
nationwide.
Nationwide.
Or, correct.
But then I punched in California. Mm-hmm. And it says they're going to project it at 1.5. Well, no, they're going to rise 6.2% in 2024, but they had a dip last year of 1.5%. Really? Mm-hmm. With everybody leaving? Who's buying these houses? Well, they got new people coming,
It's a shift, and it's, well, why did we have a dip there in California last year?
I don't know.
Interest rates were higher than they are now.
Okay.
And so, again, what happens when interest rates pull back? Do you see an increase in house price? That you just proved it. It's a mechanism that, unfortunately, if somebody gets – let's pretend you went to the auto lot, and you were looking at that brand-new truck, and it's $100,000. Don't even care. And they say, you know what, Russ, we can get you approved – and here's your interest rate. It's 5.99 and your payments are X, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And now let's say next month, the same dealership, you know, home office says, hey, we got a 0% interest deal for 60 months. And now you have the same price, but no interest. So the payment is much lower.
Right.
Would you go buy that one immediately?
If it's what I wanted. Yeah. And if I was on the fence. Yeah.
So the rate is what gets people on and off the fence. It's not necessarily can I afford the house, but it's that driver of, okay, now I want that house. But now with lower rates, you might see 3, 4, 5 people competing for that house. So all of a sudden, instead of it one offer over 2 or 3 months, you might have 5 or 6 offers within 30 days. And now it's that slight competition driving them up to 3, 4, 5%. And truthfully, go back to that $25,000 tax credit. If you bought a $300,000 home and you offered 10 grand more because you had free money in your pocket, isn't that about 3.5%?
No.
So you just bid the home up potentially 3.5% more than the list price because you could. And that's that unintended consequence where you just think, do these guys and gals not understand if you give 25 grand when it's not needed, and there's already programs out there that – you're simply going to drive the prices of the homes higher.
They don't care. This is political. This is not logic.
But that's the problem is the people that need to hear this the most, the people that need to realize that that program is actually going to drive prices, in my estimation, 8 to 10% higher over and above an interest rate dip.
Yeah.
If prices increase 8 to 10% based on my logic and my numbers, what does that do to home affordability? It doesn't increase it.
Puts it out of reach.
It puts it out of reach.
More and more.
So cyclically, you're back. It's just this spiral the wrong direction.
Prices keep going up. I'm just going to go live on a luxury yacht.
I think you should.
Yeah.
They have year-long cruises.
They do that, yeah.
And I've actually seen a couple of articles. I think one was in Money Magazine or Entrepreneur Magazine.
Where the guy lived.
But, yeah, that's all that couple did is they just went from one-year cruise to the next-year cruise. They don't own anything. They just cruise. What a great idea.
Because it's all-inclusive, mm-hmm. Food and everything. You don't have to worry about parking.
Or cleaning.
But you'd get tired of it after a month.
I'd probably be seasick. I'd be that guy that gets on the one boat that's doing the 50-foot gyrations out in the ocean and throwing up over the ocean. You know, just not good.
Yeah, pretty stable. I don't know. What would it cost to live on a boat?
You can look that up while we do a break.
So
we're going to take a break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Be sure to listen to 560 KBLU every Friday morning from 8 till 9 a.m. for Money Talk, bringing you the latest information and changes in the world of finance and mortgages. Brought to you by the partnership of Derek Eggerberg with Guild Mortgage and Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events.
This is Derek Eggerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com. Hey, Yuma, good morning. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU, Derek and Russ talking. And he just looked up some stuff. I think he's smiling for once. So
it doesn't happen often.
Looked up living on a cruise ship for a year, and you could do that as cheap as how much?
$30,000 a year.
$30,000 a year. Now, that may sound expensive, but when you figure no food, no utilities, no nothing, that's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, my I get enough Social Security money to pay that.
Perfect. So
there
you could
go.
Cruise forever.
Yeah, just on my Social Security money.
I like it. Now, you had something. There was a 3-year trip on there. 3 years.
Well, there's three years with two people would be about $180,000.
Okay, so that's still $60,000 a year. That's $30,000 a person.
That's $60,000 for a couple.
But that's a three. Where does it go?
It 3 years? Say. We could spend a whole year for $30,000 a person. $60,000 for a couple.
Can you do the radio show from your stateroom? Because you know you'd have one of those balcony staterooms and you'd be enjoying.
Well, now the balcony stateroom is not $30,000 a year. That's the minimum.
Got it. Okay.
That's
so the $30,000.
That's a crew cabin.
You're down in steerage. You're in the cargo hold.
No, it says it's 130 square foot stateroom. Oh, that which starts at
130.
No, 130 square foot starts at $30,000.
130 square feet. That's like 11 by 12.
That's good.
Does that even have a bathroom?
Optional. No. No.
I'm out.
Yeah, because
okay.
You're out.
It sounded so good until right about there.
You can upgrade to a balcony suite, and then it's $109,000
okay,
per person.
So you can upgrade to one that has a bathroom. Got it.
They had a bathroom. A balcony suite would be $110,000 per person.
For the year?
For the year.
Which?
Three times as much, but you have a balcony.
And you're
traveling.
You're
getting seasick. You're going to need that balcony.
Yeah. Throwing up over the railing
there
for crying
go.
Out loud. Lots of other stuff to talk about. But, you know, housing and mortgage and the finances, it's just intriguing to me to watch some of these things. And whether it's economic policy, good or bad, whether it's watching the numbers that are fake, if you will. You know, look at the $818,000 or 818,000 person job number change. Did you see that?
That was ridiculous. And somebody had to know that ahead of time. That was a lie.
How do you accidentally add 818,000 jobs?
Oops, your calculator broke. I don't know.
It sure makes the economy look better when you miscount 818,000 jobs.
But see, people paid a lot of attention to the day the numbers came out. It's like, whoa, it's great, it's great. Now the correction is like, this is no big deal. What's going on other than that?
Well, yeah, it's like when the newspaper prints a correction or a retraction, it's always on page like 27 at the bottom.
I think it was a lie. I think it was a lie. They knew it.
I do too, and that's.
Am I becoming cynical?
No, I think we're realizing that people put things out because it's emotionally driving people in the moment, and it becomes tactical later, and most people don't pay attention to the tactical stuff. It's kind of like budgeting.
Oh.
Do you budget?
I don't budget on paper. I mean, I know it. I mean, it's easy. I'm one guy.
Here's the tactical thing. If I could give everybody a plan to become, whether your word is rich or wealthy or affluent or secure, I don't care which one it is. Here's the plan. You ready?
Yeah, go.
Is when you hear the message, you start saving 20% of your money. And that goes away into savings and investing to start creating things that will drive revenue for you later. You buy a house and you live in it, and every 3 to 5 years, as you slowly start to upgrade your life, you keep the old one as a rental. And everybody should retire with 1 to 2 million in cash assets and 3 to 5 houses.
And you got all those houses, you wouldn't need to take a cruise.
Yeah, you just go from house to house. But truthfully, every single college student aged person who gets into the workforce, you know, you're not working at a part-time job anymore, you're a full-time career, you could learn to put 20% of your money away, invest it, live on the rest, then slowly start buying homes, and that's it. And it's a budget, but it's tactical, and most people don't want to do it because you hear this all the time. Well, if I get a raise, then we can afford that new home. Now, when you get the raise to, and the word that bugs me is just.
Yeah.
When we get this, we can just barely afford that new home. Well, when you just barely afford the car or the TV or the home, did you budget anything for savings first? Maybe, maybe not. Did you budget anything for repairs?
Well, no, because I'll get the raise and I'll do all that later. And I know people have done that.
And it's not uncommon, and I'm not chastising anybody for that because I've done it too. I promise you I've made more financial mistakes than most everybody other than Russ Clark. But, you know, as you go down this path, we all know how to budget, and we all know that we should save money for the future, and we all know that we should hold on to productive, tangible assets and not necessarily buy depreciating, destructive assets, right?
Yeah.
We all know. You can look at the grocery store, the gas station, and know whether inflation is up or down. I don't need a talking head on any news organization to tell me.
I was going
to
say on talk radio on AM 560. Yeah, no,
hey,
you don't need that.
I'm a talking head at some point. You are too. You don't need anybody to tell you whether it's up or down. You go look at what you're spending.
Mm.
And my inflation may be different than your inflation because everything that they calculate, which doesn't include food and energy, maybe I don't use some of those things. And maybe you use lots of those things, but maybe I'm doing way more. Let's say I'm doing way more driving. So the price of fuel affects me way more than it does you, but that's not factored into inflation.
Right.
The monkey math is ridiculous that, you know, we don't pay attention to what the real inflation numbers are like they used to be calculated. We don't actually know what the true job numbers are. And clearly, if you can revise it more than
Derek,
three...
Derek, you're becoming cynical also? You think they're lying to us?
I don't know that I would say...
I would.
I don't know that I would say cynical. I would say I'm just pissed that we don't actually hold people accountable. Somebody...
Oh, yeah. Somebody's going to lose their job.
Somebody put that report together, and if I... Let's say I don't know how many jobs they actually said during that time, but if I went in and said, hey, Russ Clark, I'm going to give you a mortgage, and let's just pick a number, and let's say today interest rates are 7% on a 30-year fixed, and that's not what I'm just throwing that out there. But you got to the closing table, and your documents were 7.75%.
I wouldn't be happy with you.
But there's a legal problem that I have.
Oh, you'd have a legal
problem.
Because
now everything I've disclosed to you is not what the final documents are. And I could lose my license. You could, you know, sue.
But nobody in the government's accountable.
No. You change the dynamic of the consumer sentiment. You change the dynamic of whether people vote one way or the other. You change the dynamic of whether people feel good about spending money. Oh, my gosh, the economy is great. Let me go spend more money. I had a guy that I had to make him sell his car to get a house. Okay. Now, why did
That's the right thing to do if that's what he wants.
Why did he go buy the car? He feels everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Things are going well.
I just qualified for a big house. Of course I can afford a car.
Yeah. but if you had said doom and gloom, and there, and I don't think it's doom and gloom that way, but if you had said, oh my gosh, there could be huge issues on the horizon. Do you need a house or do you need a car? And you can only have one. Which would he take?
I want a place to live.
Want a place to live. But when you think everything is great and rosy, then you're willing to go spend all of the money on things that, by the way, his car payment started with a two, and there were three digits after it. Yeah.
Oh,
it was a $2,000 car payment. That's what happens when you buy a very expensive
car. And cars still need gas and insurance, so, you know.
Oh, wait. Did you just say I have to budget for maintenance?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Now I have to budget for maintenance. So my formula on a house, which, again, it's not emotionally fun, it's just tactical. My number on a house is just budget 1% of the value.
Was this one of those $100,000 trucks, or was it a Ferrari? I mean,
it was a really go-fast car.
Go-fast. Which, that's another expense. You have mm-hmm. to budget for the ticket.
The ticket, the insurance. But if I have a car, what would you tell me to budget for maintenance on my car annually?
A normal car, I would want you to budget $100 a month, you know.
Does that include fuel or no fuel?
No fuel. That's just,
okay, so maintenance.
But look, if a transmission goes, it's $3,000 to $5,000, maybe six, depending on the car. That's nothing. I mean, a lot of people just
And you can't tell me when it's going to go. You just let's go.
But it starts becoming suspect after so many miles, you know. It doesn't go well. I can tell you it's not going to break during the warranty period.
So let's go back to, isn't that weird? So here's some blinding flashes of the obvious. When you hear people talking about free money programs, does that drive home prices higher? Yes or no?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. If interest rates come down, does that drive home prices higher?
Yes, more demand.
Okay, so those two things work in tandem. When you see people exiting one area and moving into another, does that change the demand curve?
Of course, the exiting is going to be softer and the moving into is going to be a little more strong.
So you just heard my three blinding flashes of the obvious why I can stand up and tell everybody, no, home prices in Yuma are not going down. That's why.
We're more of a destination than a leave.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you look at people. Remember we talked about, you know, adverbs, adjectives. You and I go, oh, my gosh, that home is that much?
Yes.
And people from California move over here and go, oh, my gosh, that home is only that much?
I went through that when I left California because I lived in San Diego for 4 years, moved to Yuma, and I was surprised.
And you smiled.
Yeah, it was great.
That's that blinding flash of the obvious. Now go down the road of, are people actually tactically budgeting? You know, that's why I love doing this show in tandem with Tom and Adrian and George. I mean, they're the investor guys. I'm the real estate and mortgage guy. But if you put those two things together and you said, look, every human being on this planet needs to put 20% of their income away and start living in the home and slowly build a very small portfolio of homes that you can rent out later in life, you're done.
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's not emotional. It's not scratching a lottery ticket. It's the boringest, most blasé way to get wealthy. But all you're doing is just paying attention to pay yourself first, live conservatively, move up the food chain, use the last home as a rental going forward. And ultimately, Russ, if you had five homes over a 30-year working career, is that realistic? How many homes have you owned personally?
Probably 10.
Okay, so under my plan, you could have kept...
I don't own any of them today.
No, you don't. But but moving, if you had had a little bit of a nudge and said, hey, as you slowly move up, keep the first four or five. If you had those first five and you were living in number five and the four were rentals, how much real estate would that be worth?
Probably a lot more than I own right now, but it would be worth a few million dollars.
Okay, so... So if you had had that mentor, that advisor growing up that way, you might have a couple million dollars worth of equity.
I would probably even be better off. Yeah, I would be better off.
So if if you had both of those working in tandem with a group of people that kind of nudge you along the right way, should every person who's willing to sit down and do a one-page budget, every person who's willing to write a book, you know, a journal of what they're doing, you can make it. Read a few books, talk to Russ, you know, all of those things. But in the end, we get very worked up on things that we can't control, like the job numbers. 818,000 jobs overstated. Okay, that changed the news narrative. It changed everybody's shopping habits. What happens when rates come down? Everybody gets excited and they go buy stuff. What happens every time the auto dealers go 0% interest?
They have an increase. I mean, it's great deals.
And you know what? I've said before, I probably will never buy another brand new car. Except if you told me the one that I wanted was 0% and you can get 72 months for 0%, I might consider that because the offset of depreciation versus interest, maybe that makes sense. I don't know. I'd have to run the numbers. But those things really just drive the sale. You know, if you put a sale on right now that said, buy two tires, get two for free. How many people would come over to your shop?
I think it would create a bigger interest, bigger foot traffic and stuff.
So you mean,
of course, you don't take a $100 tire and sell it for $200, but then give one away, you know?
Oh, come on! Isn't that what most of them do?
I don't think so. I hope not.
I think somebody just walked into the construction and whacked their head. Did you hear that?
Maybe they're working today.
Oh, okay. Well, based on what lines they're fixing, that's crappy.
Yeah.
So you know, when you look around for me, I see a lot of great time to buy a house. People still ask, is it a good time to buy? Yeah, it is. Because if interest rates drop over the next year or two, more like they're purported to, you're going to refinance the debt. If you buy now and these blinding flashes of the obvious are going to continue driving prices higher, you've already got the asset done. So I'm not opposed to moving to the home that I want, renting out the old one, even though the mortgage payment may be higher than I really would like because of where the interest rates are. But if they pull back, I can refinance it. And if not, I've already at least locked up the asset at today's price, not tomorrow's price, not next year's price. If this $25,000 thing actually was to go through, look out.
Now, I would think that would have to go through Congress. I mean, it would be a tough one, but we'll see.
Did the $7,500 and the $8,000 tax credit go through Congress in 09 and 10?
I don't know.
Did not.
Okay.
Now, here's where I want to bring that up. I've seen a lot of people in the news media correlating, oh, this $25,000 tax credit is the same as when we gave the $7,500 tax credit and the $8,000 one through the IRS. Why did they do that back then? Do you know?
I don't.
Okay. In 2009 and 2010, nationwide, we had more than a year's worth of inventory of homes. Okay.
Okay.
A stable market is 5 to 6 months worth of homes. So you had more than double the amount of needed homes on the market. Why? Because prior to that, everybody was buying lots of real estate, lots of rentals without a plan of actually renting them for a profit. I mean, I knew people who were making $30,000 a year who were doing 100% financing on investment properties and they had no way of carrying the negative payment, but they did it because they thought they were going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
The market crashed. In some areas of the country, you actually had 2 years worth of inventory sitting on the market. So they actually gave those credits to get other people off the sidelines to soak up the excess inventory. Okay. So 1 year's worth of homes and in some areas, 2 years worth of homes on the market spur people on into the market, soak up the excess inventory so the entire system doesn't collapse. Now, if you were to Google that right now or ChatGPT it, nationwide, how many months supply do you think we have on the market as of today, this morning?
4.1. Okay.
Okay. So we're less than a normal market. We're actually what they call a tight supply. So if we're already a tight supply of homes and builders can't build them fast enough nationwide, but if we're a tight supply and you assume interest rates could come down, driving more people into the market, and you offer these free money programs, don't you see the blinding flash of the obvious that home prices are going to get bid way up and there is going to be no pullback in pricing?
Yep.
So the whole correlation of, hey, this $25,000 first-time homebuyer program is the same as what was done before? No. One was a mechanism to soak up extra inventory. One of them is a mechanism to probably, I'd say it, buy votes. And I don't mean to be that way, but I can't see any other way that you can't see the
seriously.
Well, I can't see any other way that you don't see the unintended consequences.
Yeah.
Because, or you're telling people that let's pretend you put 5% down, not 3.5. Okay. Doesn't that mean if they gave you $25,000, 5% down means you could go buy a $500,000 home? I'm pretty sure a $500,000 home is not a first-time home buyer home, unless maybe you're in San Francisco or, you know, Silicon Valley or something like that.
Yeah.
But are you telling me that a $500,000 home in Yuma, Tucson, Casa Grande is a first-time home buyer home?
Generally not.
No. So are you telling me that that $25,000 is 10% down? You're going to give somebody 10% down on a $250,000 home when they only need 3.5%? Why? Unless you already know the number is so big, you're going to emotionally drive somebody to go become a buyer, and you're giving them enough money to bid the home prices up. That's the thing that scares the snots out of me. That does your daughter own a home?
No.
And they're going to buy here soon, right?
Very soon.
So when they buy, if they're now competing with people who have extra free money in their pocket and can overbid the home, are you going to feel really good about your daughter having to bid $10,000 or $15,000 more than it was listed for just to compete?
I mean, it's unfortunate, but I don't have any feeling towards it. They're on their own now. She's an adult.
So you've cut you've cut those strings.
Well, I'm like, yeah, it's too bad for
you. See
you,
baby.
Give me a beer.
Yeah. This coming from the guy that put a 10-foot blow-up dragon in her front yard for Grayskull.
They like that a lot.
And they still have it, right?
They do. So it'll be up his hall.
You know, again, lots of things to talk about. And truly, the housing market is really good. There's lots of great things that we can talk about. Just pay attention to what some of these talking heads are telling you. Some of them just make no sense to me logically, tactically. And unfortunately, again, my oldest son turned 21.
Has he left the house yet?
Yeah, he's at college. I've got two in college, and okay. I've got...
That gets exciting, you know, you got an extra room in the house.
Yeah, we'll see. but you know, he's going to be buying a house in the next probably year,
yeah.
Which means if home prices went up, and you just said nationally they're expected to go up 3.6.
Yeah.
But what if these things, these dominoes all fall into place and they go up 7-8%? You're telling me that if he did go buy a $300,000 home, he might be paying $21,000 more for it in a year than he is today? Those are some of the problems that it just bugs me that your kids, my kids, everybody else's kids are going to have to compete with some of these free money programs
right.
that are going to artificially drive prices higher. No different than overstating 818,000 jobs made it appear that the economy was doing way better than it did. So we'll take a break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. This is Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, Money Talk AM 560, KBLU, Derek Eggerberg, Russ Clark, talking all things. You know, here's what I mean by some great opportunities. Russ, would you like to have $1,500 extra in your pocket?
Every day.
Okay. If there's one thing that I hope people see, remember when rates were super low and I talked about it being the great debt restructure?
Sure.
And we could really do a lot of good for people.
And you did do a lot of good.
We did.
A lot of people did do it. It's not everybody, but
no.
A lot of people did it.
Here's where we are right now. Here's the opportunity of possibility. So rates have not come down hugely. They've pulled back a little bit. But you got a lot of people who are so emotionally tied to their really good interest rate that they don't want to do things and they're putting themselves in harm's way. So here's an example. I had a good friend of mine that we actually walked through 2-3 days worth of budgeting. So we are refinancing his house. His house payment. Now, let's think of debt and payments first. Globally, you have an amount of debt that you owe. House, cars, credit cards, student loans, boats, razors, whatever. Globally, you have a bucket that the payments come out of. And so you have this total amount of money that leaves your bank account to support this global amount of debt. Does it really matter whether it's going to Visa, MasterCard, Capital One Auto, you know, New Res, you know, banker? Does it matter where it's going?
No.
It just leaves?
No.
Okay, so number one, there's a term that we won't talk about much more here, but it's a blended interest rate. There's a way to calculate what it's really costing you on your debt. But number two, it's really about cash flow. So his house payment, let's call it $1,500 a month. All of the other debt that he has is about $3,000. Okay?
A month.
A month. So they have that.
$4,500 a month.
That family has $4,500 a month.
And
now,
fixed outgo expenses.
Not changing at all. It's going to be there for
it's
a long time.
It's pretty healthy.
So we're going to refinance his house. Yes, they're losing their really good, super low rate. They're going to get a decent rate, but the blended rate is still way lower than all of his other stuff. But what do you think his house payment is going to go to? It's going to go from $1,500.
$1,700.
No. It's going to go to about $2,900 a month.
So $1,500?
Well, think about what I just said. So his house payment is going to go up $1,400 a month.
Okay.
All of the other debt disappears.
You're rolling it all together.
All of it.
You're rolling it.
So he's now going to save, and I use the number 15, but it's a little over $1,600 a month is what he's saving. Cash flow, that's $1,600 a month more in his bank account. Right. They've been struggling, robbing Peter to pay Paul. Now,
so all the other debt are these things that they just like, oh yeah, I need a razor. Oh, I'd like that nice new car. Is that where it all came from?
No.
Oh, okay.
Two cars and a crazy amount of credit card debt.
Okay.
When I tell you they've been robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Okay. They've been moving credit card debt around. And of course, credit card debt could be like 20%.
29%. You know, the biggest credit card they have, the balance was approaching $30,000.
Okay.
You're never getting out of that.
No, they need to get out now.
So,
are they going to stop using credit cards after
that?
Okay.
Yeah. So here's what we talked about. Look, I'm the guy, you don't need credit unless you're going to go use credit for something.
But yeah.
So you're going to, and I'm telling him this because you've gotten in trouble, you're going to kill off every credit card you have but two. You're going to have jointly, you and your wife, both of you are going to be on each other's card, and you're not going to use them. Those are the emergency cards. You're going to go get a airline points or a cashback card. That's it. Kill off everything else. And now with that $1,600 a month extra in your bank account, you can pay cash for everything. You shouldn't need to put anything on credit unless it's an emergency. And if you really feel like it, if it was me, I'd say, I'm going to keep $800 for me to live on, and I'm going to put $400 extra into investments. I'm going to call Tom or George and say, you know, hey, Adrian, here's $400 a month extra. And that then means I could, if I wanted to, and I don't know that I would, I could even accelerate a mortgage for everybody who goes, I don't really want to put more money on the on my house.
And let them get some savings put aside. Mm-hmm. But did they agree to all this?
They did. That's why it took about three meetings to go through it, because emotionally she was very opposed to losing the really good rate on the house.
I understand. But they destroyed themselves, which caused them to lose it.
And here's the if. And no, I don't think you're ever going to see interest. I hope we never see interest rates back in the threes, because that means economically we're on a, you know, if we see interest rates back in the threes, you know how lemmings all jump off the cliff into the ocean?
Yeah.
I mean, if you see interest rates back at the threes, economically, we're going to be lemmings jumping off the cliff again, truthfully. But if they, let's say interest rates do pull back 1 point in a year. Then we can do what's called a rate and term refinance. It's not a cash out. It will be a better setup and it will be cheaper. But if interest rates never pull back and they go back northwards, they're in a great spot. But truthfully, that family is going to have $1,600 more left at the end of every month. And that's not a weird...
But they weren't making it at 45. They were still borrowing and still mixing around. So
that's why the credit cards. I mean, that the when I tell you 30 grand, that was their highest balance card. That's not the total credit card.
Yeah, they need to not ever use a credit card again.
And you and I know you're paying the interest that's coming due when you make a minimum payment on a credit card for the most part. Not always, but for the most part. They had about 60 grand worth of credit card debt. Total. Okay. If you and I know you're good at math, what's 30% of 60,000?
$18,000
a year in interest is about what they were spending.
Holy moly.
So when you say, well, $4,500, you know, for two working adults doesn't sound like much, but that's the payments just to last. That means they were spending $1,500
a month.
Interest just to really not get the balances paid down. That's it, that death spiral of debt, you're done. And you've got to do the reset button.
Of course, when you go back and look at this now, on the reset that you're doing for them, the total interest payments per month is going to be reduced.
Like a lead balloon sinking to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Because now you've got, and again, I understand there's some people out there who don't necessarily like putting it back on the home.
No.
But you've got a 30-year fixed. You've got a low interest rate. Not where they were, but you've got a low interest rate. And you turn around and say, okay, now I have a plan, not just hope for.
Where did they screw up? Was it a medical bill? Was it an accident? Or was it just like, let's go out to dinner?
I think it was life you know, when you're two adults and you have three cars, do you need three?
No,
but we didn't want to sell number two. And then you say, well, we would like a bigger TV. We would like a few of these things. And I'm sure, you know, we would like to do a trip. And the not saving 20% of your income first causes when a what if happens, then you're in trouble. And I do know they put a new air conditioner on the house. Those are not cheap.
So they had that thrown on top of all the luxury stuff. Mm-hmm. Then they had maintenance stuff.
This isn't even a dig on them. It's not a knock on them. This is everybody, and I've done the same thing too. But the emotional part is you can't be so tied into, oh my gosh, I don't want to lose that 3% rate, that you struggle and you're spending more money on your 29.9% credit cards because people know the rate on the house. I guarantee you 9 out of 10 people who walk into my office, if I said, tell me the interest rate on this car, they go, I don't know. Tell me the interest rate on this credit card. I think it's about that. Nobody knows their interest rate on any debt, but weirdly enough, you can talk about it on your house. Why do you think that is?
It doesn't hurt if you don't know.
No. Yes. Have you ever gone fishing?
Yeah.
It's the fishing story. Oh, I went out and I caught a fish, you know, 18 inches long. And then what do you say? oh, that's no big. You know, I was up fishing in Alaska and I caught a 24-inch long this. It's the bragging thing. People talk about the interest rate on their home and people talk about their credit score. Hey, Russ, what's your credit score?
812.
Cool. Mine's 813. I got you beat. You know, but you hear, you can be at Starbucks and hear those conversations.
Do you really?
Yes. I have bat ears. I can hear those things. But, you know, you can hear people talking about your credit score, your interest rate on a house. This is the deal. It's become, if you're a hunter and you're out hunting elk, what do you compare?
Rack.
Cool. So as a hunter, you hear hunters talking about rack sizes and points and things like that. If you're a fisherman, you talk about the weight of the fish or the length of the fish. If you're a car enthusiast, you talk about what? 0 to 60 speed, right?
Yeah.
What most people talk about is the interest rate on their house, and that's really where she had the hang up, is she was so fixated.
That was the bragging right. I got the best interest rate
That was her only thing. It took me 3 meetings with them to get them to realize that you're drowning at $4,500 a month in minimum payments, not get out of debt payments, minimum payments.
And it's debt forever at that.
You're never getting out of those credit cards.
Yeah.
Ever. And so here was the third meeting. I said, go online. Let's pull up your credit card right now. I want you to show me what the balance was a year ago on your credit card. That's it. So she logged in. She pulled it up. Do you think her balance a year ago was higher or lower than it is today?
It was lower.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's piling it on.
She is assuming they're making the payments, but you still go to the grocery store. You still go get gas. You get the kids' lunch. And all of a sudden, that moment was her, oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
these are never going down.
You're digging a hole.
So it's not, oh, my gosh, we get the opportunity to refinance because rates are super low. But if you know somebody who has you know, kind of happenstance made the comment of, man, I just can't get ahead. The debt is killing me. You know, have them come talk to me, or at least some mortgage person that you trust, because while rates are good, while home prices are stable, while everybody still has their jobs, this is the time to go take a look at that. And this family is going to save $1,600.
I take it they had a lot of equity in their home.
Yeah.
Well, see, they could have sold the home, taken the equity, paid off all the cars and the debt and everything, and then moved in with mom and dad.
You could have. But you just said you kicked him out, and they're not. But you know, you talk about that. How long have they owned that home?
Oh, 5 years. It had to be. Oh, that's it.
Yep, they've owned that
home
5 years.
The equity built because of the increase,
and they have that much equity. Well, remember what we were talking about?
Three years
ago, prices went up 25%. You know, there was that 2-year window that over a 2-year window, Arizona was up 31%.
Right.
They have the bonus of being able to put it on their home, which just means it's secured debt, not unsecured debt. That's the difference.
Right.
Are they going to be in that home for quite some time?
I would guess so.
Yep. Cool. And as long as you know that this savings is not bonus-free money to go shopping with.
But the wife's crying because she looks at the mortgage now. Instead of $1,500 a month, it's $2,700 or something.
$29. And it's
doubled.
It almost doubled, but you also, that doubling of the mortgage payment saves an equal amount of the original mortgage payment.
Well, see, you're throwing logic at it. I'm telling you emotion.
And I'm just telling you emotionally, as long as they can put money into the savings and investing and what we had both of them do, do you think they were maximizing their 401k?
No.
Nope.
Of course not. You got 30 seconds.
Hey, to everybody who has served, is serving, family served, thank you very much for allowing us to talk like this on the radio, live in the greatest country on earth at the greatest time in history. And thank you very much for the sacrifices. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.